Welcome to Great Big Photography World, where we like to think a little differently. It's a place where each photo counts and where creativity meets community in every frame. Are you ready to take your photography skills to new heights? Well, at Great Big Photography World, our website's a treasure trove of resources waiting for you. We offer so much to explore, including courses, projects, contests, and even a lively community that's all about creating magic with your photos. And if you're just starting out, come check out our 365 Days of Photography course, where you'll receive daily bite-sized nuggets of wisdom from a leading industry expert. Imagine learning and growing every day for a year. Our members say it's a transformative journey. Do you already have some experience under your belt? Well, then you'll be interested in our exclusive 52-week photography project for both DSLR and smartphones. Each week, tackle a unique theme, honing your skills and pushing your creativity like never before. As a member, you'll have access to all of our courses, projects, contests, as well as our vibrant community. Join us on this photographic adventure and create the vision you want others to see. Are you ready to join Great Big Photography World? For listeners of this podcast, we're offering an exclusive discount. Claim 50% off your first year as a premium member by visiting greatbigphotographyworld.com/join and entering the code podcast at checkout. Don't miss out on this chance to level up your photography game. Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Great Big Photography World podcast. In this episode, my guest is Joe Redsky, a street photographer and YouTuber based out of the UK. In this episode, we talk about Joe's journey to becoming a street photographer. We also talk about the rise of his YouTube channel and how film has influenced his photography. With that being said, I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Great Big Photography World podcast. My guest this episode is Joe Redsky, a street photographer, YouTuber, and photography mentor based out of the UK. Welcome, Joe. Thanks for agreeing to speak with me today. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you, Perrin? You all right?
Yeah, I'm not bad. It's been a good day. It's spring is finally happening over here. I imagine it's happening on your side of the pond too, eh?
It's not, actually. I went to a place called Brighton today, which is by the sea, to do some photography, and it was unusually cold for April. Usually, we're having heat waves about now, but it's just not happening. So I'm fine with that because I love the cold weather, but yeah, it's not happening. We're not springified just yet.
Yeah, I know. And you probably don't get too hot. I know you had a heat wave or two. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. It was like 40 degrees Celsius, I think, on your end.
It does get really hot here. I like the heat, but not when it's hot indoors. And in England, we don't have a lot of air conditioning like a lot of other countries do, which is really annoying.
Yeah, as long as your supermarkets and stuff like that have it, it's good. But you're very much like me. I enjoy the colder weather. So I'm grateful when winter comes around. And I think minus 20 is about the limit to what I would enjoy. I know it doesn't get that cold there, though.
No, unfortunately not. No.
Let's get this started by maybe telling the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I'm Joe Redsky. I've been a photographer for about 11 years now. It started off as a hobby. And even though I'm kind of doing it, hoping to make money on YouTube, and I've done some other jobs, it's still a big hobby for me because I love it. I didn't know what I wanted to do for a hobby. And I thought, let's try photography. I just learned everything I could about it on YouTube, as what most people do these days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if anyone knows, but I have a quite bad disability in my arms. And I didn't think I could do photography at all. And I knew that I would have to do it with a wireless shutter release or using the touch screen on a camera. So I started off with still life photography in my lounge. And that was good. I knew I had a flair for composition, and then learning about light came a bit later. But at the start, it was all about the composition. And I did still life for a couple of years. And then I realized that I could actually physically shoot outdoors. So I got into landscape. And then after that was the street photography.
So it looks like it was kind of a transition period for you. So
yeah,
much like
you, I started in landscape photography. I used to go on hikes with a really good friend of mine, and he got me into photography. And then from there, it turned into just generic nature. And I tried the other genres too, weddings and engagements. And while they were fruitful and I learned something from them, it wasn't kind of my jam, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like that's kind of the same approach you took until you found street photography as your, the thing that you, I guess, vibe with.
Yeah.
What influenced that kind of journey from inside of your boutique to landscape to finally street photography?
Well, when I was doing the still life photography, I had a friend in where I live in Ryan, East Sussex in the UK, which is on the southeast coast. And he was a horror photographer. He'd written a book about, I think it was about killer spiders, but he wanted the spider to be superimposed on a landscape. And he said he didn't mind if it was by the sea, but it just had to be in Sussex or in Rye where I live, because where I live, it's very beautiful. We've got all these old cobbled roads and it's very ancient here. And so I got my tripod, I got my camera, which at the time was the, I'd sold the Panasonic GH2 and I bought a Canon 6D. And I got my wired shutter, or was it a wireless shutter release? And I headed out and I realized that I could actually photograph outdoors. And I, once again, I realized I had a good eye for composition. And so that kind of led me into getting outdoors and doing landscape stuff. Yeah, it was kind of down to my friend who wrote these horror novels. I haven't really spoken to him in a long time, but yeah. So he got me doing that. And then while I was doing landscape photography, I thought to myself, there's no way I could ever do street photography. It's just too quick. And I just simply don't have the physicality for it. Because one reason why I didn't enjoy landscape photography is because I just can't get up early in the mornings. It's just...
I'm with you, brother.
I can do the sunsets, no problem, as long as it's not like 10 o'clock at night, which is just ridiculous. That's what happens in England. In the summer, it doesn't get dark till 10 o'clock at night, which is just ludicrous. But I just can't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's just not me. I once got up about 5 and I headed down to a field, and that was the only time I've ever really done an early sunrise landscape shoot. But I always kind of wanted to do street photography, and I watched a lot of videos on street photography, and I just, there was the whole kind of, for me, it was a whole kind of sort of, it's difficult to explain without me sounding like a child. It was, it's like watching a movie, being on the street, seeing interesting people walk past. And whenever I see like well-known street photographers taking shots, it's like capturing scenes from a film. And I'm a massive film buff, and I just wanted to try doing this. And so at first I got my tripod, and I'm doing all kind of like stuff on the street with the tripod. So I could do shots with like really slow shutter speeds and take beautiful shots of buildings and stuff. But capturing people would always be with me all fixed off on a tripod. So I wasn't really running around chasing after subjects. But what happened was, is I gravitated towards a monopod, which was obviously, it meant that I could work a lot quicker. The only problem with me running around a monopod is that everybody knows it can see you coming. So after I started street photography using a monopod, I then got myself a Ricoh GR3, which is a tiny little camera. And it's so light that I got myself a little selfie stick. And I put it into the thread at the bottom. And for the first time in my life, I kind of felt liberated, because I could actually walk around like a normal street photographer and take photos of people using the shutter release cable. You can't, for some stupid reason, you can't use a wireless shutter release with the Ricoh GR3 or the GR3X. But so that's how I've kind of got into street photography, using these little cameras. Other things that happened throughout the course of my journey, I realized that I didn't actually need this. When I'm using a monopod, I don't need to use a shutter release cable. I can actually just press the shutter, even though my movement of my arms is limited. So now I'm running around, even though I'm obviously not going to be as inconspicuous as able-bodied street photographers, because I've got people going to think, what the hell is he doing with this selfie stick attached to the camera, and why has he got this wired cable in his hand? But I'm still grabbing shots without people noticing, which is the main sort of sport of I see it a bit like a sport, street photography. It's running around and getting that moment, that decisive moment, as that French photographer, I've forgotten his name, but yeah, it's getting the moment. That's what street photography is for me.
It's very interesting because I've talked to different street photographers in my past, and they're all about the run and gun kind of approach. So they'll pull out their camera, take a quick shot, and then move on to the next, where it actually sounds like you have your monopod and your shutter release. So you actually have to set up the composition before you take it. So
yes and no. I mean, with the little selfie stick, I can do the run and gun. I do a lot of running and gunning.
Which do you prefer then? Do you prefer setting up? Because you had mentioned that it's like creating a movie scene. And yeah. I guess it could be both, eh?
It could. I think I actually prefer, like today, I went to the same place. I was on Brighton Pier, which is a beautiful pier, literally on the sea, and they've got a fairground at the end of it with this beautiful, they've got a big Dodgem car thing going on the facade of the Dodgem cars. It's got these beautiful colored stripes, and when the light hits these colored stripes and the sort of the artistic writing that says Dodgems, it all kind of comes together and looks really sort of atmospheric and sort of vintagey. And If I know the areas I'm shooting, then it's much more interesting to set up a shot where I've got a Dodgem sign in the frame and I wait for somebody to walk along. So I think that the run and gun stuff, it's kind of hit or miss. It's like you can get some great shots, but then again, they just might not work out. And I don't really know if the shots worked out until I've got home and uploaded my photos onto Lightroom, because it's very difficult to judge the composition on the back of the screen. That's what I find anyway, until I've got home and looked at the photos properly. So I think it is better for me anyway. It's more interesting. It's more mentally challenging to start to learn the areas and wait for somebody to come along.
I like how you described the elements that you had put in the scene. Yeah. It actually leads well into my next question, which was on my mind. And what makes a compelling street photo to you? Tell me a little bit about that. And you can be as descriptive as you want.
For me, it can be anything. As long as there's good light, and as long as there's some elements of composition that work, for me, it can be anything. I'm not really a close-up kind of photographer. I don't really like getting too close to people, which is why on my camera I can use crop mode. So the Ricoh GR3X is a 40 millimeter equivalent. It's an APS-C sensor and it's 40 millimeter equivalent, and then you can use a crop mode, so you can then 7.5 megapixel 50 millimeter you can crop in. And you can take photos of 50 millimeters, and then you can do one at 71 millimeters, which is great for me because I don't like getting too close to people. And so if I can take a street portrait from somebody at 71 millimeters, it works perfectly for me. And that kind of leads me into what we were talking about, is I like doing portraits and I think they work really well with the right subject. I like setting up a shot with a specific frame. I like sort of busy, haphazard, layered shots. It can be anything that works. And I think that's the same for not just my photography, but any street photography that I see. If it works as a composition and there's good light to me, that's what makes a compelling street photo.
I think there's another element to it as well. You and I actually sound very similar in this regard. I have to have a certain feeling towards the final composition. You're right that on the back of the LCD screen, it doesn't really give you the best representation just because it is a compressed JPEG. But once I get it onto the computer, or I actually do a lot of editing on my phone with Lightroom Mobile, I'll get that. It's almost like an on switch, and I get really excited about the photo or that kind of thing. So not only is it the element of nice lighting and good composition, but there's got to be that feeling where it resonates with you as a photographer. And I think you have that similar kind of thing going on.
Yeah, definitely. I used to go crazy with when I was doing like landscapes, and when I first started street photography, I used to love playing with the sliders, doing, you know, making these sort of HDR look. And now I really don't like editing, because I think everything should be very sort of natural or very similar colors. And I don't like playing around with sliders too much anymore. But I think through sort of minor editing, I can get to a point where I can have a raw photo that I think, oh, that looks all right. But then once I add the kind of looks that I've been adding to my photos, it can come alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was one video I watched of yours where you were talking, it was getting it right in frame, and then you're just looking to elevate the final image. That's all you're trying to do, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the editing process, even though I said I don't like editing, but I think through the final edit, you can add a certain vibe to your images that just isn't there in the uploaded raw file.
Yeah, we'll call it like the maker's mark. It's almost like your signature.
Yes.
I wanted to backtrack a bit because you were talking about how you don't like to get too close to people and how you use the crop function on your camera.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest questions I have. We have a member in Great Big Photography World who was doing one of the lessons, and it was on street photography. And I had a little bit of a chat with this gentleman saying, how nervous were you? And he said he was very nervous because he was scared about pointing his camera at people and how the reaction is. How do you navigate the ethical considerations of photographing strangers?
You know, I've been doing this for a few years now, and I'm still fairly nervous. Yeah, I'm not a particularly big guy, and I have a disability, even though I can I don't like confrontation, and it is an issue. And if somebody, and this has happened where somebody says to me, "You're not taking a photo of me, are you?" And I am, but then I'd say to them, "No, I'm not." And that the reason that I say that to them is not because if they say that to me, I'm not going to use that photo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bother using it. So for me, it's allowed. You are allowed to take, until you're not allowed to take photos without on the streets of people. For me, the only ethics to me is if somebody doesn't want their photo taken and specifically points it out. Or I've seen, like today I was going through the photos that I took earlier on, and two people were looking at me as I was taking a photo through the window, and I can just see from their faces that they don't want their photo taken. So I'm not going to use that photo. The ethics for me is basically if somebody specifically, or I'm not sure what the word is.
I think I understand. Basically what it is, it's a public space and you're just out photographing your composition. So until someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, could you, I guess, cease and desist?" That's essentially where the ethical considerations come in.
Yes.
And honestly, from your photographs, it's not creepy. It's not like you're out just taking pictures of people candidly. They happen to be walking through your scenes. So it's a natural progression that shouldn't make people feel uncomfortable. But I like your approach in how if they come up to you, you say, "Okay, I won't use the photo." And I think that's fair.
Yeah. My mind sort of goes around like a 100 miles an hour, and I do have suffered from OCD in the past. And when I'm taking photos of people, in my mind, I'm thinking this is going to be the moment where somebody's going to get really angry at you. And they don't. There's always that in my mind that at some point, because I've read stories on Reddit and stuff of people having some really bad experiences. And I wonder if, like, some of the greats, like Bruce Gilden, like, because I don't know if you know who Bruce Gilden is. He used to literally go right up into people's faces and take photos.
I need to check this out because I have never... How do you spell his last name?
G-I-L-D-E-N. I'm not sure if he did it all the time, but I've seen a video where he literally went up into this old lady's face. I think he might have had a flash on him as well. I don't know. And what I'm saying is that I'm just wondering... If I got all of the great photographers, street photographers, did you ever get into the confrontations? Whether I'll be very surprised if none of them did. And I don't want that day to happen, but I do wonder if that will happen one day where somebody will really, the wrong person specifically, I will take a photo of and they'll come up to me and it will get all testy. But also, This I find this is important, is that when I'm taking photos of people, there are some people I don't take specifically, won't take a photo of, because in my mind, and very quickly, I've sized them up in my mind before I've taken the photo. So, yeah, I mean, if they look like this person could be trouble, I won't take photo of them. If I've walked by them too many times and I think they're going to clock you if you take the photo of them, I won't take a photo of them.
Hey again, loyal listeners of the Great Big Photography World podcast. Sorry to interrupt the episode, but I just wanted to take a moment from our interview to talk about another way you can help us grow. You see, your feedback is like gold to us, and by taking a moment to leave us a review, you're not just sharing your thoughts, but you're also helping shape the future of our content. By that, I mean you're helping us tailor our episodes, provide more meaningful experiences for each and every one of you. Just as in our community, your words have the power to influence the direction of our podcast. So we have a humble request for you. Please consider leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your input is invaluable, and it directly contributes to the growth and success of our podcast. Together, let's make our Great Big Photography World even bigger. Thank you for being part of this incredible journey with us. We can't wait to hear your thoughts. Now back to our interview. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yeah, so you're pretty much just reading the situation as they come along, which I mean is fair.
Yeah.
You gave me a little glimpse into how your brain kind of cycles through these things. Could you walk me through a little bit about your creative process, maybe before and after you're on the street?
I mean, there's not much of a creative process before I'm on the street. It's literally, it's going through my bag, checking if I've got everything. And then as a person with a disability, it's a real challenge. And so I've got to attach the selfie stick to the bottom of the camera. I've got to make sure there's batteries in the wide shutter release cable. It's like a cable attached to a USB cable. So the wireless shutter always falls off. So I've got to deal with that. So it's for me, it's never get your camera out of your pocket and then take some photos. It's a real miserable, upsetting process for me getting my stuff together, because I mean it takes about 5-6 minutes, but it's the same old horrible process for me, because it's so that's never creative for me. But like I said, it's a case of I can literally just walk down the street and then I can see somebody standing having a smoke and I think that's going to look good. And I can literally just take the photo. And only, like I said, only with the ones that I've, the shots that I've, that I know about, that like at the end of the pier with the Dodgems, do I kind of creatively plan it out, so to speak. But otherwise, with the running and gunning, just I instinctively know that that's going to look good. And it's like a split, it's a split moment kind of thing.
I think I got you hooked on saying running and gunning. I expect to see it in your next YouTube video.
Yeah. When I get home, it's upload them into Lightroom. It's use them as pics, or it's giving them marks out of 5. And if they're below 3, I delete them. And it's going for a whole load of them, like 1,000 of them, in like as quickly as I can, because I want to use them for a YouTube video.
How many photos kind of on average do you take for a shoot? Oh. Was that the wrong question to ask?
at least about 700 I get through in a day. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, when I first started, I used to only take one.
Oh.
And what ended up happening was I would miss out on compositions that I maybe didn't think of. And I only realized that until I started taking hundreds of photos. So now when I go out, it's not uncommon for me to get, I would say, almost 200 every time I go out. But right. You never know what compositions you're going to miss, right?
Exactly.
So you have talked a little bit about your equipment. So your camera, your remote shutter and stuff. Is there any other kind of must-have equipment that you'd recommend for people looking to be street photographers?
Yeah, a mist filter. Because if you do street photography at night, which is one of my, which is my forte, a mist filter can sort of add bloom to all of the highlights. So like street lights will suddenly look sort of broad and sort of atmospheric, and it sort of softens highlights as well. And it can make things look very atmospheric.
Can you think of any other genres you could use that in? Like would landscape, it might work for landscape if you're doing your dreaded sunrise images.
Yeah, it would probably work in a sort of a misty morning, I think. Yeah.
That makes me think as well. So currently as a photographer, you have a monetized YouTube channel.
It's not monetized yet.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
Apologize. It's just not monetized yet. I'm still working flat out to try and...
Yeah. And you started this last year, right?
Towards the end of last year, apart from three ridiculous animated, I've done about three or four animated shorts, which I don't know why I was doing that. And then I've done about 25. This is my 25th proper video, and the rest were really bizarre animated quick tip shorts. They're still up there if anyone wants to see them, because they're just weird. I don't know why I bothered with those.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go check them out now and see what they're like. My question for you then is, what are you hoping to get out of this YouTube channel? What is your end goal with it, or is it an ever-changing goal?
I think it's an ever-changing goal. It's not what I want other people to get something from it. It's not so much about me. It's about inspiring other people, and you know, that's what I love most is when I get positive feedback and saying I've started using some of the tips that you've shared. I'm using auto ISO. It's for other people to get something from it rather than just myself. But it's also been a great big sort of learning. It's been very self-reflecting as well, even in the short time that I've been doing it. I mean, I've got so many sort of mental hang-ups about myself, like because of my disability, I've got sort of self-confidence issues. And I've also in the past, I've had trouble sort of liking myself in the mirror. And so when I first filmed myself, because I feel I look great in the mirror and I feel I look terrible on camera. And when I first filmed myself, I just thought, I just can't do this. I just can't do it. I just look awful. I still have hang-ups. The lighting's got to be a certain way and I've got to use a certain color grading, but I've gotten used to how I look on camera and I didn't think I could ever do that. So it really helps with who I am. I think having a YouTube channel, I still struggle with it in terms of why I couldn't really watch myself for too long, even though I have to watch the videos back.
I don't think anyone could do that. I was the same way when I started recording videos, and also my voice I wasn't a huge fan of. And like you said, the more you do it, the more you get used to it. And I like that you're using this momentum that you've developed with this channel to help inspire others. And that is a huge green flag for me in terms of a photographer. I actually, to be honest, haven't really met any that are in it solely for money or fame. But the fact that you want to inspire others to be able to do it, and you're physically doing it, which is another thing, disability or not, you are going out and you're making the effort. And even with your disability, the fact that you can pull off some banger shots, in terms of self-confidence, I have the same reflexes is what I call them. But coming from another photographer, I've only been doing this for about 12 years myself as well.
Right.
You have a really good talent and an eye for street photography, which is why I enjoy watching you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. But you want to inspire people, but who inspires you? I know you've named a few photographers, but do you have any people, even if it's not a photographer, that helps keep you going?
I'd say I get most of my inspiration from film.
Like from movies or from YouTube?
No. From movies and
What's your favorite movie?
Of all time?
Of all time.
The Exorcist.
Was it the 70s one or the one from the remake?
The 70s. I think it's just, it's brilliant. It works on so many levels.
It explains the horror connection. That's the connection I was wondering. So you enjoy horror stuff, right?
Yeah.
You and me both. I spend hours on YouTube watching horror stuff.
Same here. I mean, I wouldn't say that was an influence on my photography. I'd say Stanley Kubrick. I just love how he obviously he's dead now, how he's framed his shots and the symmetry, even though it's not always that easy to come by stuff like that in street photography. His work is kind of imprinted on my mind, and I think that's one of the reasons why I had a natural flair for composition. And also David Lynch is pure atmosphere. His films are kind of pure atmosphere. And I should have said this earlier. The main thing I want to convey in my photos is atmosphere. I think I get that from a mixture of filmmakers and especially David Lynch.
Yeah, I'd have to say atmosphere is pretty prevalent in your shots. Actually, I think it's not even moody. I think atmospheric is the right word for it because they're not necessarily depressing. It's just almost an inquisitive mysteriousness to it. And I think you're an atmospheric photographer. I think you should keep that.
Yeah, maybe. That's quite good. Thank you, yeah.
You've had a lot of experience and you've jumped from different genres. And I think that makes a very strong transferable skill set. If people wanted to look into becoming a street photographer or even a landscape photographer, any of the genres that you have done in the past, what advice would you give these people? Some may have the same internal fears as you. Some may have the same limitations as me, for example, too. So what advice would you give someone who's facing the obstacles that you've faced?
Just do it. There's been so many times where I've been sitting down, looking at stuff, trying to learn. You can only learn so much. You just have to get out there and do it. I think that's the only way you can really build confidence is that and the more you do it, the more it becomes a second nature to you. So that's exactly what I'd say to people who are kind of a bit nervous about going out on the streets or even landscapes, is that you keep on doing it and then you'll get used to it. That's not going to apply to everybody. I think that's the only advice that I can really give people that I think is really worth something.
I think it's a broad enough approach that it would fit into a lot of situations that people may face. So I honestly, that's the same advice I would give someone too. If they were just starting out, just do it, make mistakes. All you're doing is creating, and that's the whole point.
Yeah.
We are getting kind of to the end of it, and I just wanted to ask you, where can people find you online if they want to look at more of your work and your tutorials?
Just go to my website, joeredsky.com, or you can go on my YouTube channel, which is also Joe Redsky.
I think that was everything, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm on Instagram, but I've sort of fallen out of love with it, as I have most social media, really.
Ooh, this is an interesting one. May I ask, why has Instagram made you not want to post photographs there?
I do post photographs on there, but I was having a hard time with it mentally for about a year. And I took a good 8 months off and I've gone back there and it's just not the same. There's not the same. And that's not because I left. I've just noticed there's not the same community on there anymore, and people, it's just not pleasant anymore. And I also on Twitter, I know it's called X now, I still call it Twitter, I'm on there as well, but that's like it's a horrible place now. It's not the same Twitter I used to know, and it's just I want to not be on these places as much as I can, you know what I mean? I want to be on these places as little as I can, I should rephrase that.
I totally understand. I've kind of shifted away from social media to work on my own personal websites. And I know a lot of photographers who are kind of doing the same thing. Well, I'll give you a great example. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I was suggested to myself on Instagram on the, I guess it's not the For You page, but the Explore thing. They were suggesting my own account. So it's, you could tell it's just purely algorithmic, and there's no kind of community behind it.
Yeah, definitely. And then you can't get any traction on there anymore. It seems very difficult to get your, everyone's kind of saying it. You post something, people with, even with big accounts, they're just not getting the same traction with their images anymore. It's just not geared that way anymore.
Yeah, it's almost like people are now navigating to, I guess, communities, just like Great Big Photography World. It seems to be more localized than just having this generic thing where you can reach out to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I love about Great Big Photography World. There's a real community spirit going on there, and people were, you can see through the messages, you can see that's what the people want to learn, and they like each other's work, and there's a community thing going on there, and it's just not on social media anymore. It's too big. It's too algorithmic.
Exactly. And I mean, I know us at the community, we love working with you as well. We launching some new projects at this year and into next, and be sure to include you in on that for sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I do have one question that I typically ask all my guests, and I'm going to ask it to you now. Take your time if you want, but what do you hope to learn in this Great Big Photography World, Joe?
I don't know if I actually want to learn anything about the, I just want to do it.
I get it. You just want to live the experience.
That's exactly what I just want to be in the Great Photography World, and not, it's not that I don't want to learn. I just don't, there's nothing in the moment that I want to learn, but I want to experience it.
I think that's a good answer too. I mean, instead of just learning, you want to throw yourself in and experience it.
Yeah, it sounds very romantic, but
it does. But it fits in right with your movie theme.
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, I don't like romance films, but
well, Joe, thank you so much for sitting down with me, and I really appreciate your story. And I know we've done an interview before through the article and the success story, but I truly see you going pretty far and to unique places. And
very much. And I see the same for Great Big Photography World and yourself. So.
Well, you better stick around then.
I will do. I will do.
All right. Well, have a good one, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast episode, but the fun doesn't stop there. Why not take your journey further and join us in the Great Big Photography World community? Immerse yourself in a community of passionate photographers where inspiration flows, creativity thrives, and magic really does happen. Discover our exclusive projects and contests to take your images to the next level. As a member, you'll gain access to all of that and more. For a limited time, claim your special discount of 50% off your first year as a premium member by visiting greatbigphotographyworld.com/join and enter the code PODCAST. It's our way of saying thank you for being part of our world. Before you go, please share your thoughts with us and help us grow together. Your reviews are key to shaping our content and providing more meaningful experiences for you. With that being said, let's capture moments, inspire each other, and create something truly extraordinary. The Great Big Photography World awaits you.